a great privilege for me to be here with you today to celebrate God's presence and to worship together. We are in the season of Easter, that magnificent time when we continue to recall the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, the ultimate triumph God has claimed over death and destruction. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we are hearing today from the Acts of the Apostles, with Philip interpreting the prophet Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch, and from the Gospel of John, where Jesus preaches about the vine and the vine grower. I have noted, and thanks to Fiona, who has let me know that the last few weeks you've been drawing on the theme of heavenly praise and worship, and that you've been reflecting on song, creativity, and mission. Today I will try and draw on this theme, connecting with our readings and with our lives at this time. There is much going on in the world at present which threatens to disarm the hope we are given as followers of Christ, especially the Easter hope of life surpassing death. None of us, I am sure, is immune to the media reports of ongoing war and violence in the Ukraine and Middle East and elsewhere around the world. The compassion and powerlessness we feel in witnessing the distress and suffering of many innocent people in these places rests tensely with our outrage and anger at the overt displays of power and military strength which are breaking people apart. Where is God to be found in the rubble and ruin, the pain and suffering? And closer to home, we continue to hear of violent events, of the tragedy in Bondi, people out of control, men murdering women in a frightening scale which is epidemic in proportion, of such sadnesses and loss. It is easy to feel hopeless in the face of so many bad things happening around us. But we are a people who have been blessed with the good news of Christ risen from the dead. We have come together in community to hear that good news, and with the sustenance and courage we receive from being together as disciples, to stand strong in the face of all that threatens to bring us down. For so many in the world, both far away and near to us, the experiences of Easter, especially the darkness of Good Friday, are still at hand. For so many still, it must seem that Easter morning has not yet dawned. Images evoked from the memories of those who walked on Anzac Day just this last Thursday remind us that here, by the grace of God, we exist in comparative peace and safety in a clean and healthy environment. We have much to give thanks for, but our thanksgiving for our own lives and living conditions must be matched by our desire for justice for those who are suffering, all of whom are brothers and sisters, the neighbours Jesus calls us to love as we love ourselves. The psalm set for today is the same psalm we read on Good Friday, but the concluding verses rather than the whole psalm, that section of the psalm which turns back to God with praise and worship, fitting our theme for today. From you springs my praise in the great congregation, I will pay my vows in the sight of all who fear you. We are drawn through this theme into the account of Philip and the high-ranking eunuch from Ethiopia from the Acts of the Apostles. The eunuch is in a chariot reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 7 to 8, and was trying to work out what it meant. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living. The eunuch had just been to Jerusalem for worship and was returning home, so likely was a convert to Judaism. Ironically, the road to Gaza that he was travelling was a wilderness road, according to our passage from Acts. How much like a wilderness would that way still be now, a way marred with violence, death, and destruction. These verses from the prophet Isaiah are among those we read on Good Friday, along with Psalm 22, as just mentioned. The eunuch was an official in a wealthy household with responsibilities for the entire royal treasury, and here he was trying to interpret the implications of the suffering servant for him as a person trying to follow the Jewish faith. Who indeed was the suffering servant? Was it the prophet Isaiah or another person? The eunuch would not have had financial limitations, which is why he was riding in a chariot and not walking on the back of a donkey. He was no doubt adorned in the way of those who serve as a royal official, and he had the authority to command the chariot stop when he wanted to be baptized by Philip. It is from these verses that Philip begins his proclamation of the gospel, from the events of Good Friday, when Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of the suffering servant upon the tree of crucifixion. This is the point of absolute suffering, and perhaps in that proclamation, the eunuch heard something of his own story. Every eunuch is an abused person. In Ethiopian society, men were made eunuchs by genital violence so that they would be of little threat to the monarch. They usually worked very closely to the monarch, in this case the queen, and would learn the royal secrets, their strengths and weaknesses. In some ancient societies, it was presumed that a man without the capacity to procreate would be powerless and therefore much safer to engage in work within the royal household. Eunuchs are talented in their role, and so they did have a type of power, but a power gained at terrible physical, mental, and social cost. This man's body is disfigured and his identity violated, deprived even of a name in the scripture. He is a person who has been subject to violence. As Philip interpreted the scripture, he would have heard the words of hope and salvation, words which were being fulfilled in Christ, the suffering servant, who has been restored and made whole, who offers another way. The water of baptism at the side of the road would have appeared as a flood of healing grace for the two of them. This baptism again picks up our theme of heavenly praise and worship. Not only the eunuch, the nameless one deprived of gender identity and choice, but every human in the grip of suffering may hear the same words and from the event of Good Friday onward find their hope and salvation in Christ. All of us will at some point in our lives encounter deep suffering, not only in others who we love and care, or those far from us, but in ourselves. Isaiah's words, interpreted through Philip and every successive generation of disciples, provide us a starting point in a journey of healing. As the concluding verse of Psalm 22 reminds us of those who proclaim the good news, "This shall be told of my Lord to a future generation, and his righteousness declared to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." When the eunuch heard Philip's proclamation, he was moved from within to ask for baptism. Such was the power of the testimony. From the verses of the psalm of praise in the psalm through the liberating account of the restored Ethiopian man who learned of Christ, the suffering servant, raised to fullness of life, we move to the gospel, the words of Jesus himself, the vine and the vine grower. Followers of the gospel way are given by Jesus the image of the vine, and the assurance that Jesus is the true vine and God the vine grower. The vineyard is the world, and it is sometimes a cruel and unloving place. Sometimes there are people in the vineyard who do not abide in its goodness, but seek to cultivate their own place, dominated by misused power. For whatever reason that we cannot always know, away from the love of God. Fruit only flourishes when it abides in the loving vine. Abiding in the love of God connects us to the vine, a community of people who belong to God, who love and respect each other, who offer heavenly praise and worship, who refuse to remain silent while another suffers, who work tirelessly to change unjust systems and raise up the abused, that they, like the Ethiopian man, may be restored to wholeness and new life. This is the story of Easter, beginning in our proclamation today with the imagery of Good Friday, of the suffering servant predicted by the prophet Isaiah and fulfilled in Christ on the cross, and the triumphant breakthrough of Easter morning. The broken and abused people, those who suffer violence and destruction, the lost and lonely, the sick and suffering, all are restored and given the hope, the fruit of life abiding in the vine of God. And so may we say with confidence that Christ is risen and that he is risen indeed. Alleluia.